What does it take for a song to start a movement? I'm your host, Kittis.
And I'm Tadu.
Welcome to Buna After Dark podcast. We are two Gen Z East African girls learning the power of hip-hop together.
In this episode, we will be looking at hip-hop songs that discuss the political problems within the African continent and even some that mobilize for change.
We'll talk about hip-hop artists who have engaged in protest literature and combat literature based on the analysis of Frantz Fanon's Wretched of the Earth, expanded by Dr. Clark in her book Hip-Hop in Africa, Prophets of the City and Dusty Foot Philosophers. Throughout the continent, hip-hop has been used to stand up against injustice, but which artists and songs have engaged beyond critique? We'll explore tracks from South Africa, Fees Will Fall, which stood up against the rise of tuition, also how Egyptian rappers such as MC Deeb fueled the Arab Spring, or what's called the 2011 Revolution, and how Somali artists have used music to unite a war-divided country.
And we will also be discussing Gigi LeMayne, MC Deeb, and Kanaan, who have used hip-hop to speak on issues and shift conversation and policies within their communities to create change.
First, we know that hip-hop in Africa has been used to mobilize against a lot of injustices. We know we returned to Africa during the 1980s and 90s due to neoliberal policies and the IMF and the structural adjustment loans, and it really created a dire economic condition for many Africans. So the youth really mobilized and started to demand better. We know that, right?
Yeah, and not all protests is the same. Some are protests only in nature, while others expand into combat literature staged based on Fanon's theory in The Wretched of the Earth.
Yeah, and one like huge movement we had for change that I was, what, like 5 years old? I wasn't really aware of it during the Arab Spring, were you?
Nope, I was learning my ABCs.
Yeah, and so we know like the Arab Spring, we had to do some research. It's a series of pro-democracy protests that really began in Tunisia when a man named Mohamed Bouazizi burnt himself in the protests of the dictatorship that he was living under, and that kind of spread throughout. And one huge thing it spread was within Egypt. On January 25th, they had a national police day, which a lot of people came out and actually protest in a kind of in a joke because the police was played a role within their dictatorship and were suppressing their people.
Yeah, and I've read that millions gathered in Tahrir Square in Cairo, and that hip-hop and social media was most impactful.
And another movement we're looking at is the Fees Must Fall. And it was really looking at apartheid was supposed to be over in South Africa, but students still, especially black students, still lacked access to education. There was like the Bantu education system during the apartheid era, but still, even in 2015, 2016, education system was still racially divided.
Mm-hmm. It followed the Roads Must Fall, which wanted to remove racism from South African universities and remove Cecil Rhodes.
Dang, that's super interesting because that was really a decolonial movement. And it's interesting how that continued in South Africa. They wanted to remove the racist system, and then now those students want to remove the economic racism within the university. That's very interesting. So what kind of can you tell me more details about like what happened during the Fees Must Fall movement?
Yeah. Fees Must Fall movement in the fall of 2015, the tuition fee increased by 10.5% in Johannesburg. And right away, the students took to the streets to protest for at least 3 days.
Wow. Did they get any victories or did the tuition like stop getting increased?
Mm-hmm. There were different occasions that occurred, and the university in South Africa also joined in. On October 2016, the president announced no increase in fees.
Okay, because I do know, like, later in 2016, like, a year later, that, like, people said the fees could go up in 2017. So there's, like, different formations of movements. But I know that Gigi, like, released her song in, like, the protest before she graduated in 2016. And she was really involved in the movement because she went to university there. And she really wasn't just critiquing. Like, she actually was involved. So for the December in 2017, the government finally said they'll offer a sliding scale payment.
And actually, that kind of takes me back to Kanaan. He's a Somalian-Canadian artist who had a major hits over the past several years. He moved to Ontario when he was a teen as the war got worse.
Yeah, did he like, how was he inspired into music? Like his family, friends, like how did he get into music?
Honestly, his whole entire family is they're musicians and poets. So his grandfather had a lot of impact on his songs, and so did his aunt, who's a famous singer in Somalia. The world sensation lyrics from Waving the Flag, you know that song, right?
Oh
When
yeah,
we
we
get
get
stronger,
stronger.
I will be stronger.
Longer.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
He wrote that song, and
Wow,
I didn't even know
I didn't
that.
know that. I thought I've
Yeah.
never heard his songs. Okay, we're talking about like social movements and stuff, so why does his music matter? What song like is relevant to issues in Africa?
Well, his music reflects his own experiences, or like most artists. And when he was growing up in Mogadishu during the Somalian Civil War, so every time he talks about violence, displacement, and fear, it's his lived experience. So his song "Sobax" from his album "The Dusty Foot Philosopher," it originally released in 2005, which describes the time when Somalia was facing major warlord interference.
Dang. So do you know like what like created the warlord issue? Because I know sometimes it's like wars and different like social circumstances. So what created the crisis within Somalia?
Militia leaders gained power after they overthrew President Siad Barre in 1999. The word "Sobax" literally translates to "come out," as he directly addresses the warlords and armed groups to leave.
So he was really calling out the people who are attacking his country. That's really good.
The lyrics really reflect how the place was a place of tourism and beauty, only for it to become a war-torn area, and how innocent civilians were slaughtered over clan divisions.
Dang, so what, like, what kind of were the clans called?
One of the clans he mentioned in the song is called Kabil. That kind of tribe conflict tends to lead to endless bloodshed. Within the lyrics, he even mentions, becoming a refugee.
Welcome back. We're going to do the artist spotlight. We're going to go back to Egypt and we'll be looking at MC Deep, his song that really sparked revolution, especially the Arab Spring with the Masdar Deep. MC Deep, he grew up within the Gulf, but he was born in Egypt and he really viewed hip hop as a language of struggle and he felt that you should speak your mind regardless of whether people agree with you or not.
So, what were some of those struggles?
Yeah, like in Egypt during his time, he was suffering under the Mubarak regime. This person was president since the 1981, and then he didn't allow people to speak freely. So whenever MCD would talk, he really had to use metaphors, and he really couldn't talk about the government. But it changed. Like I was talking about the National Day of Protest or Police Day when people went out to protest. That was on January 25th. And he went and joined protesters in Tahrir Square, and his music and other hip hop artists' music were part of that revolutionary process.
So then, a little more than a week after the January 25th protest day, he released a song called the Mashhad D, right?
Yeah, and that really means like in Arabic, like deep stage or deep theater. So he's talking about like his life, his experiences. Yeah, and it kind of is like, I feel like it was a kind of like a 90s style flow. And one lyric that really stood out to me was when he was saying like, my lyrics serve as a mirror reflecting the events I've lived. He's really talking about how his music contributes to how people feel in Egyptian society and their experiences. And he's really used his music to, speak on that.
Did he have a personal experience in that, or?
Nothing really personal happened to him, but he saw artists getting arrested for speaking out his mind. And he also knew, like, living somewhere else, like coming back home, and how it's influenced Egyptian, like, society. He sees how people can't really speak as freely.
Also, the whole regime was censoring.
Yes,
Okay.
yes. Have you ever, like, read or, like, heard anything about Mubarak's regime, like, how it was?
Yeah, I heard. Though many artists recorded the music already, but didn't feel safe under the censorship to release it. And Deep felt motivated by the revolution that was underway, and the video and music were released, right?
Yeah, but like I know people were saying like the Mubarak regime used to like suppress people, and there was just a lot of like bad things happened. Like, how many people were injured again? Like, there was a lot, right?
It was about 6,000 people who were injured, and people who were unjust or were arrested during his 30 years dictatorship never gained justice.
Oh, that's sad, because I know in the song he really calls out. He says, the people struggle requires a remedy. We're all in the same boat floating in the breeze together, though this breeze isn't exactly blowing in our favor. So I feel like he's really talking about how the youth were struggling economically, and there's over like a 2-week protest, and like everyone struggled under it. No one was doing well, and like he saw that change needed to happen, but didn't feel like it was really going to happen. Things were going in his favor with the police suppressing people.
Yeah, this also kind of goes back into the combat literature, because Deeb didn't wait for the revolution to end to release his music. He released it during the 18 days, which went into Tahrir Square while people were being tear gassed and kept momentum going.
Yeah, I felt like this really does represent combat literature, because he didn't just wait till the like revolution was over. He like intervened and mobilized with the people and got more people out to the street. I feel like that was super impactful. And then another lyric, he was talking about like, if Abdel Halim Hafas was still alive today, he wouldn't be found on Rotana TV. He's really talking about like, which is like a state-owned TV media that really supported the regime. And he showed like Abdel Halim, who's like an Egyptian like icon historically, like he wouldn't be complicit in the system. So Egyptian society should not be complicit. Like, our ancestors will look at Egyptian society poorly.
Yeah, and he even says, open your eyes and don't you dare blink. Like, don't ignore what's going on and try to pass by the problem. Then he explicitly states the problem.
Yeah, I feel like he's saying, like, are you just good to go and hang out with your friends and not really deal with the issues that's actually happening? And he even talks about, like, this is, like, the calling it out. He says, because I'm no dictator, rather I'm the wolf, a doctor in the school of the street specializing in folklore. He's really talking about, like, he's not a dictator like the leader. He's part of the masses, he's part of the people, and he specializes in connecting to Egyptian society instead of, like, suppressing people like Mubarak was. He's not a dictator. He's very clear on that.
And he continues in his chorus, life itself is a joke, so welcome to my theater. I sacrifice my time to awaken my people. So here he is just saying how life under Mubarak is just a joke. And he feels like, you know, he's wasting his time, you know, following all these, the regime rules.
Yeah, and he also, like, talks, like, about how he literally created a song titled I Hate the Oppressor. Like, he's being very explicit, and it really is unique, especially within Egyptian society, because you can't really say things as freely. But he's just saying it. He doesn't like it. He wants everybody to be free. So I feel like this song, and the way it was used in Egyptian society, really was a combat literature example. And it's really amazing to look at ways artists have used their voice to call out what's happening in society.
Well, let's look at the Gigi LeMaine and her song, Fees Will Fall.
Yeah, she was talking about like South Africa when she was part of that protest. She was a university student, and she's supporting the Fees Must Fall movement. Mm-hmm. And especially as her being part of like the born free generation, like born quote post-apartheid, it was super important for her to speak on the issue.
She was also a student at, what was the college called?
Witwatersrand Friend.
Okay.
In Johannesburg. And it really was the place where the movement started.
Right. The, you know, it's a complete combat literature, because she released it in March 2016 between the two waves of struggle, and was engaged in the protest, getting people mobilized and fighting.
Yeah, and I think like how she really opens up the song. She's like,
how long are they gonna lie to us and smile with us, acting like they'll cry with us?
Like, she's really calling out how the government is pretending to care, putting two faces on, and not really dealing with the issues of black people.
Plus this lyric.
Nation, a black child will never ever gain emancipation. I wonder if King Biko would agree to the forefathers of our land wouldn't sign to.
Yeah, and I really think that's interesting because we've recently been looking at Steve Biko and his book, Like, I Write What I Like, and the Black Consciousness Movement and the student movement. So she's kind of pulling back on her ancestors that, what would Steve Biko think about how South Africa is? Are we really free? Because he really wanted a true freedom, like psychological, everything. And under this economic condition, the students do not have it. So I find that interesting. She's pulling back on the ancestors, and she's really reminding the masses of where everything began. And she even, like, calls out the university directly. She's talking about, this is the last resort we're ever going to have. Qualification in hand, they grab the spoon from my hands so and say we shouldn't be mad that they control us through the cash. She's talking about how she's worked hard. She's about to get a degree, and like other black students. But they are still locked out of opportunities because they aren't financially free and their parents cannot afford things. So they raise tuition and raise cost of living. And even though black people are trying to do better, they'll always keep them in a cage. So I feel like this lyric really illustrated the struggle that the students are going through.
I really like how she views the youth and her repetition of fees will fall, not just must.
Yeah, it really shows that, like, it will happen. It doesn't have to be, like, a demand that, you know, we want it to fall, but she said it will happen. The students will get what needs to be done, because she released this in March around 2016 before, like, they really changed their behavior in 2017. So she already knows the youth will get the job done.
She also states at the end of the day, the energy of the youth will be the truth and the way. So at the end of the day, the youth are going to be the power. They're going to be the ones who are going to move the world forward.
Yeah, and now we're going to East Africa. We're going to look at Kanaan and what he was talking about fighting his struggle.
So in his song, Sobax, he addresses the militia directly as he states,
basically, I got beef. I want to talk to you directly.
You know, when he's saying this, there is no hiding behind pretty metaphors as he continues saying,
I can't ignore, I can't escape, and ask because you affect me, you cripple me.
Yeah, I found that super interesting because he's talking about he cannot ignore the issues they're creating because he can't live his life with all the violence that they're reproducing. And, like, he's being very bold. Like, do you like how he's being bold to challenge it?
Absolutely, because there is no way you can escape war, especially when it controls the way you live and traps you away from the opportunities to fight against it, right? And I love how he also is so bold to challenge the militia to take accountability.
Yeah, because he was like,
for real, who's to blame? We lose lives over Kabil's name. Disregard for the soul.
Like, he's challenged that the whole condition that people are actually dying over this clan division. And, like, he wants violence to stop because it's been so normalized. Mm-hmm. And, like, people are actually losing their life over it. So I feel like that's super interesting. And he's really calling out the actual problem within the situation for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And when he says,
better your issues on your own. What to do? Where to go? I gotta be a refugee. Damn,
Sobax. He is bluntly reflecting on that the reality that the people of Somalia are living after their government was no more. Without a system to protect their people, the place falls into violent hands and corruption, and youth kind of goes away.
Yeah, and like Somalia is like a beautiful place. It used to be a place for like tourism and people can visit their family. But it's been since like all the warlords came and all the crises that have occurred, like he calls out in Mogadishu, what has been happening here. It's been hard for Somalia to be the same. And he's really calls them out too. What did he say about like they need to leave? What did he say about the gunmen?
Yeah, he literally says Somalia needs all gunmen right out the door.
We need you out. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And when he says this, he's directly calling for the warlords to get out, which, you know, Sobax means to come out of this place.
Yeah, and we need peace. Yeah, like, I feel like this really talks about his lived experience and his critiquing war. I feel like this could be argued if it is combat literature because it's not actually, like, mobilizing the people, but I do know is protest music for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also like, how can you have combat literature when there's literally guns everywhere and your country is not even have a government like it used to? So I feel like he's in a unique situation, but I do feel like this is really protest music.
Yeah, this whole thing, it's been going on for, I think it's 30 years now. So still, it's still in combat. Somalia is still fighting. And he, along with, still fighting for them since age 12.
Time for critical analysis.
All three of these artists engaged in different ways to combat struggle. Some patterns I really saw was with MC Deeb, how he got involved within like a little, like almost 3 weeks of the revolution. He was active while it happened. And like Gigi LeMay, she was active when she's talking about the fees will fall. She was an organizer within those protests. So I thought it was interesting. These are two different like struggles, but they had similar patterns of artists using the world and engaging in the protest. What do you think? Like, what is another pattern you see?
I think one of the patterns is timing, definitely. Both artists released their music during the struggle, and you know that shows what separates combat literature from regular protest music. Artists get involved in real time and maintain the momentum.
Yeah, and like I also see that like also another thing that I think that are different, like my takeaway from this is that like that combat literature can look different depending on the enemy. Like Egypt, they were really under a dictator for 30 years. It was like secret police, they had emergency laws. So his way of like combat was about like just rising the people and the masses and being aware of the issue because he could be attacked and it couldn't be just one person. And but then in South Africa, like even though they still are struggling and they quote, are still fighting a system that's similar to apartheid with economic exclusion, they had more freedom to really say, name the people that is causing their economic thing. While under the Mubarak, he couldn't really name them as much because it was just a different system. That's what I really took away, how combat literature has to address different things in different material conditions. What's the takeaway you have, Tadu?
One of them has to be the microphone being a weapon. Both artists say the explicitly. So Deeb says, the microphone is my true companion and I sacrifice my time to awaken my people. So Gigi uses her graduation day, the day she was able to earn her degree to enter to, you know,
center the masses, right?
Mm-hmm. And organize the politics.
Yeah, like to organize the political problems. And even though she could just get her job and live her life as an artist, she still uses her voice. And I feel like even Kanan, like he used hip-hop as a form of weapon. Like he used this song to challenge the oppression that the people, and he wanted to really unite because Somalia, like many other countries in Africa, always have division over certain things. So even though he's quote in the diaspora, he's still using his voice to unify. He might not fit into the perfect box of like combat literature, but I do think he's engaging in something that is threatening the social order. Mm-hmm. And why do you, like, a lot of people do not care about what's going on because there's so much political stuff going on. Why do you think this is, like, super important for people to know how music can be used to fight the state?
That's such a great question. And because these artists risk everything when they're singing up here. Dibby was in Tahrir Square while people were being tear gassed. Gigi was at the protest while balancing being a full-time university student. And even Kanan, he was just a child before he fled because he was facing the danger. And so they didn't just rap about change, they were part of the mobilizing change.
Mm-hmm. And I also think this is not like ancient history. Like this is 2011, South Africa's Fees Must Fall was like 2015, 2016 era. Kanan was talking about issues that are still active today. And like these issues that show that young people can mobilize for change with their microphones, with internet, and can shift conversations and policies. And this is a recent example, so we don't really have to wait. I feel like this shows us that we don't have to wait for the government to come save us, or we have to wait till we're grown 50, 60-year-olds. We as students, we as youth, can organize issues for our communities.
Yeah,
this is super important. My name is Kittis.
My name is Tadu.
And this is Buna After Dark. And we are out. Thanks for listening to Buna After Dark. Be sure to check out the artists we talked about today and stay tuned for more stories from the world of hip-hop in Africa from your girls from the East. Peace.